I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm Jim. And I like that. If you're not enjoying the retreat, well, if you're not enjoying the retreat, it's your own damn fault. Because well, the rest of us are having a hell of a time here. Anyway, what we're going to do is we'll start with group number one, and each group has a representative. If you want to pick one, if you don't have one, that will come up and share. And then if we have time, we'll have some questions and answers. So group one is Rich. Where is Rich? Well, who else is here from group one? You're six.
I'm here from group one.
Do you want to do it?
Well,
you're it.
I'm
here. You're it. Come on.
But I can take good notes.
Thanks, Dave.
All right. Let's see, I took maybe some notes.
I'm Dave. I'm a compulsive overeater from group one. Our topic was step six and seven, the character defects. I learned the concept of a fear inventory, which I'd never really taken. Fear comes from the idea that self-reliance will fail me. That has a resonance because I have always been a person that prided myself, at least in the last 20 years, on self-reliance, and whenever something occurred at work that threatened my sense of, you know, security, I would immediately go into fear. And I think the 12-step program really helped with that, because at one point, if it weren't for my sponsor in these programs, I would have gone to my new manager and I would have punched him out. I was that angry at him. Just to share a little bit. Oh, I'm sorry. I have to raise it a little bit. We passed around a reading from a group called Big Book Awakening that Rex had. Another concept that came out of the group was that our higher power doesn't ask us to remove all of our character defects, just the ones that he finds are hindering in the creation of his will for us. That was curious to me because I, you know, I'm a person who... but one thing we did discuss is the idea of writing down your character defects and how often that is difficult because, you know, we're in our defect and we're trying to analyze and write down our defects, but we're not even aware that we may have certain defects. So, you know, and other people pointed out that, well, that's why it says in the Big Book that you continually apply these steps in all of your affairs, because, you know, we're all going to do many fourth steps. We're all going to do many fifth steps. We're all going to do many sixth steps. We just have to keep going back over it. And I think that's in the 10th step through the 12th step, is that we, you know, keep the process going. And we had a large discussion about, you know, can we even accept in our heart the notion that there is a higher power? And if we can't accept in our heart the notion of a higher power and we can't do a first step, you know, how can we get started? And it came out that, well, you may not really totally accept, you know, a higher power, but, you know, experience tells you that you can accept the experience, strength, and hope of the people in your group. And if you come to trust them, they all say that they've gotten help from a higher power. So, you know, again, it comes back to, you know, how do you let your higher power remove your character defects if you can't ultimately do a first step? And it was said that, you know, every morning you can do a first step in your prayer. You know, you can say, I'm an overeater, and God, please help me today and only today to, you know, remove the defects of character that are keeping me overeating today. So I don't know if I covered it all, but that's what I have. So thanks for letting me share.
Were you group one?
Yes.
You were group one. I guess I got confused. Anyway, group two. Who is a representative for two? Is anybody that was in group number two?
Mm-hmm.
That's not going well. Was anybody in group two?
No, I don't do it anyway.
Okay, so you're going to represent group two?
Yes.
Okay.
Hello, I'm Vincent. Hello, I'm Vincent. I'm a compulsive overeater. That's my bones. Okay. What were we originally focused on? Surrender. Let me see. A few things came up under the heading of surrender. Fear. Narrow focus. One of us talked about focusing on 2 pounds, weight gain, weight loss, and, you know, getting lost in that 2 pound focus. Selfishness and kind of self-serving comparisons, my waist is a little trimmer than the person's next to me, so that I can fill up my plate a little bit more. You know, that kind of thing. Real self-serving comparisons. I have 3 cars, he has 2. I can overeat, you know, and be high. Let me see. And then there was part 4. Step 4 part of this, which for me, you know, my personal inventory, I was amazed at how many times worthlessness came up. I wasn't amazed at how many times fear came up. And you know what? Give me 1 second. If I rely on my memory, we'll get nowhere. Desperation. Desolation. And then the current day fears, which I love to instill on myself. Fear of being passed by time. Out of control. Fear of being out of control, fear of being rejected, lots of it fears forever. So it was not only enlightening for me, because I never really did an inventory quite like this. I've done several inventories in my life before, but not one quite like this. And wow, what a difference I found in the weight the weight in my head of sitting down and laying this all out. And then when I was done, and, you know, I was just so much lighter. I'm very appreciative about that. Thank you.
Okay, and group 3.
Yeah, I'm Rob. I'm a compulsive overeater. Our group talked about food plans, basically, and we kind of look at not just what is a food plan, but how does your food plan relate with, families and relationships and stuff like that. We first talked about food plans as really what defining why you had to have a food plan. We talked about what abstinence is, and we talked about the definition that OA now has as abstinence is refraining from compulsive overeating and compulsive overeating behaviors while maintaining or moving towards a healthy body weight. And, you know, and what you need to do is the food plan deals with the physical part of that. And we also talked about how the food plan really is just kind of like deals with the first part of step 1 about being powerless over food, about the physical allergy. And the only way that a food plan really works is to keep working the steps and following your food plan, but doing the rest of the steps. That's what gives you the willingness to keep doing it on a daily basis. And, you know, one of the things that occurred to me was, you know, we talk about how it's so much different in OA than, you know, in AA you just don't drink, but in OA you still got to eat. And I remember hearing once that, you know, in AA people still drink, they just don't drink alcohol. I mean, you still drink water, you still drink sodas or whatever. And so what we talked about was identifying honestly what our personal binge foods are. In other words, there may be things that you can eat or that, you know, somebody else can eat that I can't. You know, but personally, I can't eat nuts. I discovered I did a list of my binge foods And, you know, nuts is all over it. It was in the cookies I ate. It was in the ice cream I ate. It was in the Chinese food I ate. And it turns out that, you know, nuts are something that I just can't do. But a lot of people eat nuts. They can be part of a very healthy food plan for people. And so we talked about going to a nutritionist, talking to your sponsor, and above all, being honest about your food plan, you know, and how it works. It talks about being rigorously honest and completely honest. And, I mean, God knows, if you're like me, I lied to nutritionists and doctors about what I was eating and how much I was eating and what I could eat. And it really is the basis of finding a food plan is being honest. And for some of us, that's also being honest about how much we eat. You know, I personally weigh and measure my food. Not everybody has to do that. But you know, I fought it for years. I mean, I didn't do it for years, and it didn't do me any good. Now that I weigh and measure my food, you know, I'm back on a healthy food plan. But again, it's just that comes from being honest, talking to other people about what works for them, what's working for you. And it allows us to give us, that food plan gives us some discipline around our food that on my own I don't have. You know, I've got no discipline around food whatsoever. That mental obsession kicks right in and says, well, that one apple was so good, I should have another. It's good and it's healthy, you know, and it's not, you know. We also talked about the importance of enacting that food plan. It's one thing for me to have a food plan, but if I just have it to myself, it's never going to work. And we talked about calling your food plan into a sponsor, actually writing it down and calling it into our sponsors. And we don't all do that on a daily basis, but we found that the people who have the recovery that we want, they do. You know, when I do that on a daily basis, and being honest about that too, one of the guys talked about he's a food sponsor, and he could tell when people were just kind of writing it down as they were saying it or kind of making it up. And it's important just to write it down and say it. It's that act of surrender to get it out of my head, and then I can deal with the other stuff of the day. I don't have to be constantly thinking about food. We also talked about the food plan and how that helps our relationships. You know, if I'm going having dinner with my family, if the food's kind of written down and committed, then I can stop and I can talk to you. You know, I can talk to my wife. I don't sit there and eat a bunch of crap in my car on the way home and then try to struggle through dinner with my wife. I'm much more open to my wife, to my family, to people at work. You know, if going to work and going to a big luncheon at work isn't about the food, but it's about what we're supposed to do, if I can be present, I'm much more, you know, available if I'm not in the food. And I think the last thing we talked about was bringing God into the food. We heard that a little bit earlier, but I shared that my very first sponsor, my first food plan was say a prayer before you eat it. Thank God for that food. You know, I mean, that was the second day I was in OA, as my sponsor said. He says, if you're going to pull up to the drive-in window and order whatever you are already ordering, just pray and thank God for the hands that made that food. And, you know, today my breakfast, you know, and that's tough to do. I mean, stand in front of the Snickers, the candy machine, you know, put your 50 cents in or whatever it is today and you know, thank God for that Snickers bar. It's hard to pull that handle. You know, at least it was for me. Because, you know, God wants me to be healthy and happy and to be aware of that. And so, you know, just let your higher power figure into it. And if you can't do that, let somebody else figure into it. You know, like call your sponsor. Call somebody. If you have a food question, the last thing we were talking about was, you know, trying to figure this stuff out on our own. I'm not good at that. I don't know anybody else here who is. So ask the guy sitting next to you at lunch today or pick up the phone and make that change if you called and said, I was going to have this. And we also talked about just taking some personal responsibility and accountability about if you're going to go out to a dinner at a restaurant, you know, God, the internet's an amazing thing. You can find just about any restaurant and find out what they serve and commit it beforehand. You know, you can ask for help. You can tell your waiter, look, there's too much food here. Can you cut it in half and bring the other half back, you know, kind of thing. And 99% of the times they're going to say yes. And if they don't, go someplace else, you know. But just don't try to do it all by yourself. So I think that was basic. Our concept was that have a plan, use the plan, but also have God help you with that plan. So thanks.
Let's see, I think we're ready for group four now. Anybody here from four?
Go ahead, Darren.
All right. I'm Darren. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Darren.
Well, our task was surrender and trust in a higher power. And that was sort of what we had discussed. And we had quite a free-form discussion. And I have a couple notes, but one of the things, for me personally, one of the things that came up was that when you are abstinent and you are working the steps and you do all the work and you feel like you're doing right by your higher power, how do you trust that continuing to do right by your higher power will help relieve you of the problems that are in your life today? And looking at steps 6 and 7 about character defects and how character defects can spring up over and over and over again in different ways. So sort of the surrender and trust in a higher power is something that's not a, kind of a one-time action. It's something that happens continually on a daily basis in new forms and new ways each time. So we also talked about, I mean, for me personally, about, you know, doing so we have this triangle here with unity, service, and recovery, and how service is part of that, and surrender and trusting your higher power is also surrendering to service and knowing that being of service to others is part of your higher power's will for you. And I've personally had problems sponsoring. So I have a sponsor, but I don't have any sponsees. And that was one of the things that really angered me, which kind of contributed to my recent relapse. And to just let that go and know that your higher power will, you know, give you that service position in his time and on his terms and not my terms. I guess we also talked about the fear of when you do surrender and trust your higher power to, when you make that surrender, you're effectively saying that my life and how it looks is not up to me, it's up to my higher power. And that, and the fear associated with that, we talked about, because it's very real. And you know, you have a plan in your mind about what your life should be like, how you should be living your life, you know, what kind of job you have and all that sort of thing. But if you are really in surrender and trust with your higher power, those things are given to you. They're not of your own design. So I guess that's it. Thanks.
Thank you. So we're ready for what you were four?
Yes.
So 5 is next.
I'm Don, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Don.
And I think I got elected because I'm the oldest. Our group had just a wonderful meeting sitting out there. It was such wonderful connection, and everybody was so present. And we were talking about being present. We kicked it off with fear, and we kicked it off with surrender. And one of the things which we concluded fairly early on was that one of the greatest fears that we all seem to have stem from having a lack of control, not being able to determine outcomes, or being afraid of consequences of past actions. And we thought we were thinking of how important it is to simply surrender to what is, because a lot of us have had great serious problems accepting what is. And when we accept what is and live with it, we found we could understand where we really stood in this situation rather than where we wish we stood or where we wished other people stood. And we were thinking about how part of the surrender is we had a lot of conversation about God and higher power, and what I came away with was the importance of nearly, which is what I've been thinking all along, and this was validated, was the importance of putting Don out of the way and looking within for inspiration from a higher power, whatever the higher power is. And we talked about, as my expression, sending a good thought someone's way, which is just thinking a loving thought about someone, particularly someone who might be in need, someone who needs some prayers said for them, but merely thinking a loving thought, not necessarily asking for anything except sending a good thought. And the other thing that was so important was, for me, and others agreed, one of the big, I always look for payoffs, and one of the big payoffs of fear is, the payoff is I don't have to deal with the now, because I can spend the time obsessing about what I'm worried about. I can then try to cover it up with food or some other obsessive behavior, and that becomes, you know, another layer piled on top of the layer. And these are the negative payoffs that are the consequences of basking in fear. But the great thing was the way we all connected. And let's see, I didn't take good notes while we were talking because I was having such a wonderful time and I was being so present. I wasn't being a good scribe here. But the one other thing that came out was that once we transcend the food obsession, when we accept that we are powerless over food and manage the food in whatever way the food has to be managed. One of our people was a diabetic, and he said he had to prepare certain foods, certain special foods, because of his diet. And once he's managed his food, it's no longer a problem or an issue. It's only a problem or an issue if he veers off the managed plan. And once we transcend the food, then we can be much more free to be in the now. And we also talked about looking within for the freedom to express ourselves and to be the real people we are. And I brought out something that a lot of you that know me have heard. That is this dictionary definition of sober that I looked up a few years ago. And the first couple of dictionary definitions had to do with not being intoxicated. But then the third one was about making wise and well-informed, well-thought-out decisions. And then my great favorite words, freedom from unreasonable excess. And that is the goal of my sobriety. I want to be bug sober too. I want to be food sober as well as alcohol sober. And being food sober requires attention, but it doesn't require obsessive behavior. And can I be food sober, and then I can live in the now? And that is really the point that I want to make, is live the life I want to have is living in the now. Anyway, I think I've covered everything. And if you guys think of anything I missed,
yeah, six.
Okay. Thanks. Okay, number six.
Number six is up. I'm Rick, compulsive overeater,
and I will try somehow to hold your attention after the lunch bell has rang. So we started off talking about finding a higher power. I'll make this brief. One of the themes that came out of it, which was great, is a couple of the guys really talking about turning to a higher power when things get desperate and things get rough, and how amazingly well it works when we do that. And then when the crisis has passed, either choosing to just not bother going back to that higher power or forgetting. You know, someone said, you know, I use my higher power like an aspirin. And if there's no reason to take that aspirin, I don't. And that was really a challenge that we talked a lot about. And the correlation to that was really food and how food relates to that. How, you know, someone said sugar is a wall that blocks me from God. You know, someone else said my higher power does not compete. It will not compete with the food. So if I turn to the food, my higher power says, all right, you know, let me know when you're ready. And that was really a challenge for us. And talking about trying to find, you know, a conscious contact throughout the day in good times and in bad. And one of the things that came up, which was really great, was just the idea that it's really through repetition, that it's just, you know, it's setting up our spiritual actions through the day so that, you know, whether we need it or not, we are doing the, you know, we are trying to communicate with God and inviting God into our lives and our higher power into our lives on a regular basis, whether we feel like we need it or not, so that it's there when we need it. You know, people also talked about the idea of action and how a lot of times the actions, you know, that we you know, someone said, you know, there's a difference between intention versus decision, and decisions require actions. And that a lot of the spiritual stuff that we do is really nothing more than the service that we do in program. And that if we're constantly in service, we are making actions towards our higher power instead of away from our higher power. Someone also brought up a great idea to literally take, if you know, when there are things that are challenging us, literally take the third step prayer and modify it to be specific around that crisis and say that prayer specifically around that crisis. We also talked a lot about how we started talking at one point as a sidetrack about how a lot of us don't eat without being distracted, whether it's the TV or the newspaper or the phone or whatever. And that sort of came around to just spirituality. As someone said, we really can't have a connection with our higher power if we're not pausing. And so a lot of us were talking about how at least starting with the food, you know, as our leader had said yesterday, sort of inviting God to our meals, that we're really not going to effectively invite God to our meals if we're being distracted by outside issues while we eat, which is really great. And just to wrap up, I had actually asked the gang if they could help me by defining and explaining what their concept of a higher power was. You know, what they see and what their images are, and what they believe it to be. And without getting into anyone's specific example, the takeaway I heard is nobody actually had a specific definition of this is what I believe my higher power is. And that was really powerful for me because I realized, you know, if you can't get the right answer to the question, maybe it's because you're asking the wrong question. And the thing that I took away at the end is one of my fellows said to me that to him, God is a feeling. And I just thought that was a really wonderful way of thinking about higher powers that I had not. So it was really helpful to me. That was it.
Did I hear the lunch bell?
Yeah, you did. Yeah. It was a little premature, I think.
Oh, a little premature. Okay. Is there anybody else that had something to share before we close up?
Let's say a prayer.
Okay. What prayer would you like to say?
Just pray to our Father.
Okay. You want to lead us in that prayer? Okay. Here we go.
Thank you.